Finally, an answer to the most guessed at question in Massachusetts politics. No, both Charlie Baker and Karen Pulido will not be running for any office in 2022, throwing the race for the next governor wide open. Baker says it was a difficult decision that came down to immediate priorities.
The thing we like about this job is doing the work, and we both like it a lot. But the flip side of that, especially when you're still in the midst of, I hope, what will be the sort of tail end of this pandemic, is focusing on campaigning and focusing on politics and focusing on all the things that come with that just seemed to us like a big step away from what we should be focused on.
Welcome to And Another Thing. Derek Kennedy is off today. I'm Maya Schwader. We want to take a look at the political earthquake and what it will do to the Massachusetts landscape. Both on Beacon Hill and right here in our backyard in western Massachusetts, what will this affect? Later in the program, we'll speak with the declared Democratic candidates for governor about what this means to them. To observers, today's announcement came as a shock. After all, Baker had been fundraising since last summer and was raising just under $500,000. Pulido had been traveling all over the state, and according to Politico, she showed up at two times the number of public events as Governor Baker did between October and November. These are moves you make when you are revving up a campaign. So, what gives? We did reach out to the Baker-Pulido administration, but they declined our invitation to appear on the show. So with us to unpack what all of this means is GBH's senior political analyst, Peter Kadzis. Peter, thanks so much for joining us this evening. Baker, was popular. He was fundraising. Pulido was crisscrossing the state. What happened?
Well, I think the governor explains a good part of his thought process, but the governor's answer is a little bit like an iceberg. You know, only the truth is above the waterline, underneath some of the real facts. And that is a recent poll has shown that, you know, Baker would have a very hard, if not impossible, time winning renomination as a Republican, that his only route to re-election would be running as an independent. And that's something that Charlie Baker on Monday said he wouldn't do. He's a lifelong Republican. There's no two ways about it. The Republican Party in Massachusetts is controlled by Trumpians, by the forces of Donald Trump. And there's no place in it for Charlie Baker or Karen Pulido. And even though they represent less than 10% of the Massachusetts electorate, that's a big reason why Baker is getting out.
So in your mind, why not run as a, you said that he's a lifelong Republican, but why not run as an independent if that is in fact the case that the far right of the party is taking over the party?
Well, I'd take a little bit of issue there. It's not has taken over, is taking over the party. Mm. It has taken over the party. And Charlie Baker, I believe, is an honorable man, and he's not going to change, you know, his spots or his stripes today to suit tomorrow's reality. It's a hard thing to get to wrap your mind around. You know, there's another way of looking at it, too. I think Michael Dukakis was the last governor to serve three terms, and those were not consecutive terms. You know, you could be kind and say Baker took a look. He said 8 years is enough. I've got 11 months to go, and I want to wrap up the COVID pandemic as best I can. And all that's true. And that's certainly taking the high road to look at it. But it's in my mind, it's impossible to divorce the fact that the Republican Party in Massachusetts is now so right-wing, so Trumpian, that there's no place in it for a Charlie Baker. Baker refuses to leave, God bless him, but they refuse to have him. It's as if the Republicans are saying, we may not be able to control who's governor, but we sure in all heck can control who runs under our banner.
So does that mean that this is basically handing the next governor, the next gubernatorial election to the Democrats, or could a Republican still be competitive?
It's too early to say whether this is handing it to the Democrats. Look, all of Massachusetts is waiting to hear what Baker would do. Now the scene shifts. The rest of political Massachusetts is waiting to see, what does Attorney General Maura Healey do? Will she, in fact, announce? She has, I'm pretty sure, almost $1 million in the bank, $900,000. You know, that's more money than Baker had raised. So before anyone can make any really informed predictions, I think we have to decide, we have to know whether Healey will run or not. Also, let's not rule out the fact that some, you know, Massachusetts multimillionaire who none of us particularly know of could declare and run as an independent himself or herself. I think the chances of Jeff Deal, the former Massachusetts state representative and former opponent of Elizabeth Warren, I think the chances of Jeff Deal being elected governor are, at the moment, pretty slim.
Mm-hmm.
But don't rule out an independent coming from nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, don't rule out Maura Healey.
More.
Don't know what she's going to do.
Yes, all eyes now turn to, of course, the Massachusetts Attorney General. Peter Kadzis is a political analyst with GBH. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Okay, thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
To help us dive into what the future of the Republican Party in Massachusetts might look like, we now welcome former Acting Governor Jane Swift of North Adams. Governor Swift, such a pleasure to have you on the show. Right now...
Thank you.
Looking at Massachusetts right now, the GOP does not control any of the statewide offices. The Democrats have a very solid majority in the legislature. Right now, what does the future of the Republican Party look like to you?
So certainly we are all indebted to Governor Baker for his what will be 8 years of service, as well as Lieutenant Governor Polito, who have both of them, not only in these offices, but have in elected and appointed positions, been central both to our party and our state for several decades now. But, you know, I think that if you had predicted what candidate was going to emerge to carry the party's banner in 1990, which is dating me, folks would not have identified Bill Weld, the former U.S. attorney. He turned out to actually be the godfather of all of us who were elected subsequently. Charlie Baker worked in his administration. I was a first-term state senator working with his administration back then. So while there may be an inclination to panic, I think what we've seen over the past 30 years in Massachusetts is that people do step up, and you can be successful as a thoughtful, in-touch, moderate Republican in Massachusetts.
So in that case, are you expecting to see some more folks from the GOP jump into the race?
I would definitely expect. I think many of us assumed that if Governor Baker did not run, that Karen Polito would run, who's lieutenant governor. I think in many ways, her decision to also not seek office in this next election is perhaps even a little more surprising than the governor's. I think, you know, we had Kevin O'Connor, who ran a spirited campaign for U.S. Senate just about 2 years ago. We have an elected sheriff, Lou Evangelides, in Worcester. So I think there will be individuals, both perhaps in the private sector, but also who have been elected regionally around the Commonwealth, who will step up.
You mentioned two people. Are those the people you have your eye on, or is there someone else who you're hoping might step up?
So I would hope we would see some other candidates. Of course, I'd love to see a Republican woman step into the fray. But, you know, I think there will be additional candidates to emerge.
Right now, there is only one Republican who has declared that he is running. That's Jeff Deal, who was endorsed by none other than President Trump. what does it say to you when someone who is an avowed moderate Republican like Charlie Baker decides to step back and there is someone who is further to the right, still very much in the race?
You know, the Republican Party in Massachusetts, despite the fact that we're a relatively small party, has had these internecine, battles before. Almost every time I can think of in the last 30 years, the moderate has won the primary and been a very legitimate and oftentimes successful candidate for statewide office.
So do I hear you saying you're not necessarily worried that the far right flank of the party might take over the Massachusetts GOP?
So I think they've taken over the mechanism of the state party, but most Republicans and right-leaning independents who can vote in the Republican primary in Massachusetts are not of the uber-conservative ilk that the currently declared candidate represents.
Former Acting Governor Jane Swift, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you for having me again.
Welcome back to And Another Thing. Dara Kennedy is off today. I'm Maya Schwader. Our show this evening is focusing on the coming shakeup in Massachusetts politics. Governor Charlie Baker spent much of his two terms as the most popular governor in the country, but he has decided not to run for a third term, and Lieutenant Governor Karen Pulido, his heir apparent, is also not running for any office next year either. For a Republican in a state like Massachusetts, which has a deep blue reputation, Baker enjoyed extremely high approval ratings. In August 2020, those numbers peaked at 78% approval, according to a UMass Amherst WCVB poll. Those numbers have dropped somewhat recently. Just 56% of respondents this past month approved of the governor's work, but that rating was higher among Democrats than it was among Republicans. This afternoon, they told reporters that they felt they had to choose between conducting a political campaign and overseeing the state's ongoing pandemic response efforts.
Part of what made it difficult was trying to decide which of these made the most sense. So in the end, we decided that we thought the best thing to do was to focus on a post-pandemic recovery for Massachusetts.
Naturally, we wanted to know, how are the folks who are still in the race feeling? We reached out to Republican Jeff Deal. He did not respond to our request, but he did send a statement to the press thanking Baker and Pulido for their service. And we have the Democrats who are running for governor. They agreed to join us. First off, we welcome former state senator Ben Downing. Senator, thanks so much for being here again. There are a lot of people who believe this move means the Democratic primary is now going to be the key race, and that will determine who actually becomes the state's next governor. Are you gearing up for a spirited primary now?
We have always expected that there would be a spirited primary, but the last thing Democrats should do is to take the corner office for granted. I just turned 40 years old. Two times in my life, only two candidates have won that office. We need to go out and earn voters' trust and show them how we will address the challenges facing them in their day-to-day lives, how we'll make transportation work better across the state, how we'll make housing more affordable, how we'll make our economy stronger in Western Mass and Central Mass and our gateway cities as well, how we'll take on and lead the fight on climate change. We need to go out and earn voters' trust. We shouldn't assume that we're going to win anything.
You are a native of Pittsfield. You are one of a very few number of people from Western Mass who has run for a higher office in the state. How is that either of use to you, or how could that possibly hinder you in the campaign?
I think what I've seen in the 10 months that I've been in this campaign is that being from Western Mass is a great asset. First, there are many parts of the state that feel like they've been forgotten, left out, and left behind by a culture of complacency on Beacon Hill that doesn't act with the urgency our problems require. And unfortunately, that's what I saw growing up in Pittsfield. You know, GE left, took all the jobs. We were left cleaning up and rebuilding. And then even recently, we had to watch as the state celebrated, trying to recruit GE back to the state while they were fighting a cleanup back in Western Massachusetts in the Housatonic River. And, you know, whether it's a challenge like that with corporate pollution or any number of other challenges that different communities have faced, I've found that there's a lot of common ground across this state and a lot of folks who want an urgent form of leadership to take on climate change, economic inequality, and racial justice. That's what I'll do as governor.
Really quickly, if you can, do you feel like Governor Baker paid enough attention to Western Massachusetts?
No, and I will.
Democratic candidate for governor, Ben Downing, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Maya. Be well.
We now welcome Harvard University Professor of Government Danielle Allen, who announced her candidacy over the summer. Professor Allen, what was your take when you heard the news this morning that Governor Baker was not going to be running again?
Maya, thanks for having me. Please call me Danielle. My first thought, of course, was one of thanks and congratulations to them for a successful term and their dedication and service. But I have been arguing for months that this is a time to move. It's not a time for the status quo. Status quo is not an option. So I saw their announcement as confirming that. They came to the same conclusion. This is not a time for status quo. It is a time for bold transformation.
You entered this campaign as someone, when we spoke with you last, the way you put it was you have served the public, but you have not had an elected office. Are you concerned about the possibility of an additional, possibly more influential Democrat who might join the primary field?
I am just so proud and delighted to be a part of the most diverse field of governor candidates in Massachusetts history. And I am a different kind of candidate. I do bring a different kind of background and experience, 20 years of leadership and executive experience in the nonprofit sector. So I bring a fresh perspective outside of Beacon Hill to the profound problems that face our state: housing, transportation, the opioid epidemic, the climate crisis, democracy. Those are the core things I'm focused on.
What do you think you could learn from Governor Baker's leadership? He's been with us for 8 years now. He's been pretty popular. Is there anything about him, about his style of management or his style of leadership that you think you would like to carry forward were you elected?
Look, you know, Governor Baker has always really put a huge emphasis on treating people well, bringing respect, mutual respect and compassion to the work. And I agree with that 100%. You know, I think there's a lot of room for taking that further. Honestly, I think there's a lot more we can do to coordinate respectfully with municipalities to lift up our cities and towns across the Commonwealth and provide them with supports for effective decision making. So I'm looking forward to building on that commitment to cooperation, respect, compassion.
Where do you feel the primary is going to go now? You know, the big Republican who everyone was waiting for is out of the race. What are you looking forward to in the next coming months of the campaign?
Well, this is definitely a moment for bold transformation. And we're going to be debating just exactly what it is we all desire and dream of and imagine. It's time for us to reimagine. We've got to reimagine basic building blocks. You know, I keep coming back to the importance of reimagining housing and transportation, schools, good jobs, and justice. And we've got to work on those things as a set. It's the only way to drive a transition to a renewable energy economy and secure climate justice and sustainability. It's also the only way to secure confidence in our democracy and prove that it can deliver for all of us and for our most pressing needs. So we've got to really focus on the question of what's the vision and then who can deliver. And that's where, you know, I spent, you know, just oodles of time in the trenches on COVID response, did a lot of work helping schools open for safe and healthy learning for students and educators. So I really bring the combination of bold vision and the capacity to get it done.
Professor Danielle Allen is a Democratic candidate for governor of Massachusetts. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Maya. Great to be with you. Take good care.
Senator Sonia Chang-Diaz is so far the only sitting member of the legislature to declare she's running for governor. She is the latest to declare her candidacy. Senator, thank you for joining us this evening. How big of a surprise was this to you to learn that Governor Baker was not going to be running again?
You know, it wasn't going to be a surprise to me either way. He decided, and before I dive in, though, let me say thank you for having me, ladies. It's good to be with you guys. But no, it was not a surprise either way, right? This is, you know, when you flip a coin, right, you have a 50-50 chance of getting either side. So, you know, when I did my soul searching about whether to get into this race, I contemplated all of these eventualities. And in the end, you know, what I came back with was that it doesn't really matter to me who is in this race, because what's at stake in this race is not just, you know, about beating this person or that person, right? It is about what is the agenda for real systemic change on behalf of working families that we can drive in the next 4 years from the governor's office. And that does not change, you know, with this decision today from Charlie Baker, one way or the other.
The governor said his big reason for not running again is that he thinks he can't successfully run a campaign and do his job as governor. You are currently a sitting senator. How has it been balancing running a campaign with working on the issues that are facing the state's legislature right now?
It's a hustle, for sure. I'll throw in there also being the mom of a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, right? But that's always been a juggle. The good news is that the work that I am doing as a legislator and that I have done as a legislator for the past 12 years, building winning coalitions to win some of the boldest and most systemic change that we've accomplished in Massachusetts in the past decade plus, right? Education reform, criminal justice reform, police reform. These are things that, the past is prologue. These are the best, sort of pieces of evidence that I can offer to folks on the campaign trail of what they can expect from me as governor. So it's feeding two birds with one hand, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Election politics at the same time as a campaign, at the same time as trying to legislate on Beacon Hill, these things always influence each other. What are you thinking about as we move through the months of the campaign and as the legislative session gets ready to gear up again next year?
Well, the fact of the matter is, for far, far too long, people in power on Beacon Hill, be they Democrats or Republicans, right, and this goes from both parties, have asked working families to wait for too damn long for change. Told people that they need to wait in spite of the fact that we have a growing affordable housing crisis in Massachusetts. We've got inaccessible and expensive childcare and health care. We've got the existential threat of climate change barreling down on us. We've got longstanding racial injustices that we have left, unaddressed in our state for so long. These will be my priorities, in the year ahead, both as a legislator and as a candidate for governor. And we need somebody in 2022, we need somebody as our next governor who is going to be willing to take on these challenges, even when they're hard, not just when it's an easy row to hoe. And, we need somebody who recognizes the urgency of this moment. And because I do recognize that urgency, it is going to be both part and parcel of my quote unquote day job and the platform that I'm running on as governor, because we need somebody who's going to tackle these issues with the courage to solve them at their root and not just nibble around the edges.
State Senator Sonia Cheng Diaz, thank you so much for joining us tonight on And Another Thing.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Don't forget, you can follow us on social media. We are at AAT on NEPM, or you can email us at andanotherthing@nepm.org. I'm Maya Schwader. Thanks for listening, and have a great evening.